Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, Fastamaya, good evening. How are you? We've made it to Friday. Hope you're really well. This is Update, where we're going to take you through some of the main news stories of the day. Tonight, new figures show people on lower incomes in the Isle of Man are much more likely to require mental health support. Also tonight, the Manx government's chief executive says efficiency and transparency remain top priorities. Isle Listen has received a major donation from the Isle of Man Freemasons. And a little bit later, we're going to bring you some lovely news from a very special birthday celebration. Also, we'll keep an eye on the weather, the traffic and the travel as well. And as ever, if you'd like to get in touch about anything you hear on tonight's programme, you can email studio@manxradio.com or you can text. It's 166177. We'll start with a roundup of the main news headlines with Siobhan. Fastamaya.
Acclaimed Manx artist and sculptor Brian Neal has died at the age of 95. He was a founding member of the Isle of Man Arts Council, which has paid tribute to him, describing him as one of the island's most prolific and celebrated artists. Manx Care says people on low incomes are disproportionately represented in its mental health caseload. Head of Mental Health Services, Ross Bailey, warns that poverty and poor housing are major drivers of demand.
And research finds that children from the least well-off 20% households are four times more likely to have serious mental health difficulties by the age of 11 than those from wealthiest families.
Residents of Millcrease Court Sheltered Housing Accommodation will be getting a new bus stop. Infrastructure Minister Michelle Haywood confirmed at Peel Commissioners' meeting last night that it's been approved from the Minor Capital Works Scheme. And people are being invited to a listening event concerning endometriosis tomorrow. Attendees will have the opportunity to meet staff from the Integrated Women's and Children's Service and tell them about their real-life experiences face-to-face. It's set to be held at St John's Methodist Hall at 1pm. Further afield, the EU's foreign police chief says Russia's violating Estonian airspace is an extremely dangerous provocation. The country's foreign ministry says three Russian fighter aircraft entered without permission and stayed there for 12 minutes. Sky's military analyst Sean Bell believes it was a planned move.
Unlike the drone incursions earlier, this was premeditated. I operated in the Cold War in Germany. We had a buffer zone there. And believe you me, when you had gone even close to it, people were warning you. Going inside Estonian airspace for 12 minutes is no mistake.
There have been tears, hugs and smiles on a Doha runway as an elderly British couple were reunited with family members after their release from an Afghan jail. And the songwriter behind a series of country music hits has died. Brett James, who was 57, was amongst three people killed in a plane crash in North Carolina. There are your headlines. I'll be back with your news at 6.
Thank you very much indeed, Siobhan. Now the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. So it's going to stay rainy this evening. Overcast, that rain or drizzle becoming more persistent again a little bit later. Potentially, it is going to be heavy at times. It will clear largely to the southeast by the end of the night, though. Then tomorrow will be largely cloudy, but often dry. The risk of some rain in the evening, wind settling to a light to moderate northwesterly. They will strengthen from the north or northeast later tomorrow. Top temperatures tomorrow will be 15. And then Sunday, mostly dry with sunny spells. Sunset this evening, 7:26. Sunrise tomorrow morning, just before 7.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674-573. Or visit the showroom on the Snugborough Trading Estate.
Simply Income Protection from Kestrel Insurance. A choice of benefits. Simple underwriting and peace of mind with a regular income for up to 2 years if you're unable to work due to illness or injury. Kestrel Insurance is registered with the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
Carpetland, the carpet specialist with the island's best value carpets in stock. Often fitted within a week. Furnitureland, for three-piece suites, dining and living room furniture. And a selection of amazing beds. Carpetland and Furnitureland, West Street, Ramsey.
Manx Mobility in Onchan have it all. Daily living aids, wide-fitting shoes, Rise recliners, beds and scooters, including lightweight and airline-approved models. Call in and see how our expert team can make your life easier. Manx Mobility at the top of Summer Hill.
The exclusive Kärcher store is open, with thousands of products, accessories and parts in stock. For Kärcher sales and service, Hersham Electrical, Shipyard Industrial Estate, Ramsey.
It's coming up to 5 past 5 here on Update Now. Manx Care says people on lower incomes are far more likely to need mental health services than others. The head of mental health on the island, Ross Bailey, has been telling the Tynwald Select Committee on Poverty that poverty and poor housing are major factors driving demand. He revealed the Child and Adolescent Mental Health Service had almost doubled its caseload since 2020, so that's up by 96%, although that figure is reported to have dropped significantly over the past year.
We see significant issues where we see families with low income and where there's clear poverty are massively overrepresented within our caseload. I think what's difficult to establish is a lot of that's anecdotal because we're not able to pull within our current electronic recording system. We're not able to pull the data to give that prevalence. But certainly my own experience as a practicing social worker, both in London and the South East, and on the Isle of Man, I've been there since 2008. We would certainly see significantly increased numbers of referrals from areas where there's the deprivation or with a certain housing, and the housing has got a significantly important role to play in this. So, it's just in summary, there's absolutely the association between poverty and mental health, and that's particularly profound in children. And if I can just, if I have the possibility just to quote, the Commission on Young Lives research in 23 said it's impossible to overstate how important poverty is in the driver for the social challenges experienced by children and young people and their mental health. And research finds that children from the least well-off 20% households are four times more likely to have serious mental health difficulties by the age of 11 than those from wealthiest families.
That is Head of Mental Health over here, Ross Bailey. Well, alongside him at that committee was the Health and Social Care Minister, Claire Christian, and she talked about a gap in data.
We're certainly not an outlier. Any evidence that is drawn from in the UK can be comparable to the Isle of Man. We currently have a review into the integrated mental health and care and planning approach, which provides perhaps in the future the ideal opportunity to strengthen that assessment going forward. And in particular, sort of looking at the individual's economic and housing status and being able to get that data.
That's the Health Minister there. Well, the hearing also discussed the Thrive model. This is a system focused on prevention and early intervention. It's already in place in the UK. And you might remember £3.4 million of funding was granted in June last year to implement it on the island when 1,200 children were on the CAMHS waiting list, most for autism or ADHD assessments. Well, Mr Bailey was asked during this committee what progress had been made on that front.
Well, the work we've done thus far, it's been really effective in terms of reducing the number of children waiting, so that 70 about 67% reduction over that 12-month period, and we're looking for that to continue. Running along with that was the work to develop and create the Talk Service, which went live in June of this year. What the Talk Service has done really well is actually realise some of that qualitative data that my colleague was referring to, in terms of, I can quote all the numbers in the world in terms of referral to assessment times and referral to treatment times. It makes not a jot of difference if what you're doing is not making a difference. So understanding what the family's experience of that intervention, we get some fantastic feedback. And I think we're certainly, in terms of mental health, we'd be trying to really, really be proactive in harvesting that qualitative data. So really truly understanding the interventions and work that we're doing, what difference is it making to those families and to those individuals?
Well, that's Ross Bailey there. Well, the government says the CAMHS waiting list has since halved, down from 1,181 in July last year to 599, a milestone it claims shows its commitment to early intervention and mental health support. You can find out much more at manxradio.com. 5:08 and the Isle of Man government's chief executive says there's currently a greater emphasis on efficiencies and transparency during what he calls a period of change. Now, Mark Lewin took on the role on an interim basis in April, but this week his contract was extended to a 3-year limited term. The chief minister's confirmed an open recruitment process will begin in late 2027 or early 2028. Mr Lewin was asked whether a culture change was needed within government.
I think the ongoing permanent conversations about how the organisation is, how our people are, what are we here to serve, who are we here to serve, and how are we doing on that. That's something we always talk about. The Chief Officer Group as a collective talks regularly, works regularly on issues, on priorities, on how we are performing collectively against the challenges we're set Financial challenges is clearly a big one, and inevitably every year there are more and more demands placed across the public service with limited resources, and we have to respond to that. From a culture perspective, I see, and day in, day out, we very much work as a collective. There's always more we can do, and there's always more we will do. We're going through another 12 months, a particular period of change. There's a lot more focus on efficiencies, there's a lot more focus on transparency, and we will do that as a collective, and we will make sure we are joined up and working together as best we can. One of our key roles is to make sure we have a public service that can be sustained. So the pursuit of efficiencies, and I know we'll talk a lot more about that. That was one of the priorities I was asked to look at when I came in April. And working with the Chief Officers Group, working with our central functions, whether that's digital transformation, whether that's making sure we got as good a use as we can of our partners and our contracts, making sure our assets are being fully utilised, making sure that we are doing the best we can in that space with our people. And services, stepping back and reimagining and redesigning for today's world, how they can function and how we do it in a sustainable long-term way. So the concept of financial challenges, making sure our services we can sustain. Increasingly, it's difficult to say every year there are more and more demands placed on public service. In a small island, we do far more than we do or you would expect to see in other larger jurisdictions. And people of the Isle of Man, quite rightly, we like our way of life and we like the things that are provided. And sometimes when we believe we have to change some of that, that can be difficult.
That's the Isle of Man Chief Executive, Mark Lewin. Now, Peel commissioners met last night to discuss a range of local issues, including talks with the Infrastructure Minister, electric vehicle parking in Market Street, progress on levelling of football pitch and plans for a new bus stop. Local Democracy reporter Emma Draper was there.
The commissioners met with DOI Minister Michelle Hayward to discuss the proposed 20-mile-an-hour scheme in Peel. Dr Hayward said there'd be 20 zones around both the schools in the town due to a stipulation in a Tynwald resolution, which she said recognises that these are often used outside of normal hours for clubs. The board agreed that it's difficult to drive over 20 miles an hour on some roads due to their size and the number of parked vehicles. Dr Hayward also told the commissioners that there were no plans to put purpose-built traffic calming measures into the scheme, as it could cost the department up to £3 million. The board agreed it would like to have a drop-in session for residents of the town to talk to the minister directly about the issue. This will be organised before the consultation closes. Minister Hayward also confirmed to the board that a new bus stop has been approved from the Minor Capital Works Scheme. She said it will serve Millcrease Court and a crossing will also be developed as part of it. Dr Hayward added it will be moved further down the road due to the current stop blocking a driveway and a castle curb will be put in to make the stop fully accessible. Also on the agenda was an update on the levelling of the football pitch on the Headlands. Commissioner Stuart Hardingham said the plan was to fill in the lumps and bumps. However, it now needs 3,000 cubic tonnes of soil. He said he doesn't understand how it got so out of hand when it was initially to make the playing surface more comfortable for people to use. Mr Hardingham said the events committee is getting more quotes to be able to carry out the work. Chair of the events committee, Katrina Baptist, said she had been working on getting more of the community groups involved in the Christmas light switch-on event. She said the youth club, football club and the Methodist church have agreed to help out. Ms Baptist told the board that she's hoping to have a nativity play during the event. Peel commissioners will next meet on Thursday the 16th of October.
Emma Draper reporting.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Well, just to let you know that in the past few minutes, police say they are in attendance at Victoria Road in Douglas for a two-vehicle RTC. So if you're travelling home in that sort of direction, you are asked to avoid that area. So that's Victoria Road in Douglas. That's the one with the big Tesco store on there. We'll bring you up to date when that situation is cleared. Looking down at the airport, all looking OK down there. And the steam packet this evening, all OK. The Manxman due in at 6 and the Mananan on its way to Liverpool. It's due in at around about 6:15. Just be aware though, if you are planning on travelling tomorrow on the steam packet, the 7:15 sailing to Heysham, the Manxman sailing is at risk because of the possible adverse weather forecast. So we will bring you all the latest details on that as soon as we have them. And other than that, it's just the usual things to know about. The Mountain Road, of course, closed from Brandywell to the Cregnant Bar. There are temporary lights on Lake Road. That's 24 hours a day in Douglas for patching works. And that short stretch of Glenfaber Road is closed near the new sewage treatment plant. But the main thing to look out for is that RTC that's happened on Victoria Road in Douglas. Police are asking you to avoid the area.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Quayside.
It's 14 minutes past five. Now, children with learning disabilities are set to benefit from better mental health education because the charity I'll Listen has received nearly £27,000 from the Isle of Man Freemasons to support their work. Around one in five young people in schools over here are on special educational needs and disabilities registers. Education lead Rebecca McNair from I'll Listen and Martin Blackburn from the Freemasons have been talking to Darren Timpson.
We know that young people with additional needs are significantly more likely to experience poor mental health. So they're the group, one of the groups that we really need to deliver our mental health education to. And unfortunately, sometimes they aren't always able to engage in the sessions in the same way. So this is massively impactful because it's going to enable us to really create that custom support for them. Early intervention and prevention is what our Listen is about. And our education programme is sort of the epitome of that. If we can educate young people early about what mental health is, how they can look after themselves, the normalising emotions, normalising talking about feelings, then we're not going to take away difficult things that might happen to them, but what we're going to be able to do is when they encounter those difficulties, they've got some tools that they can use for themselves. They also know how to access support, where they can access that support. And then the other side is that those that then go on to access one-to-one support have got a bit more emotional literacy. So when they go into a session, maybe, you know, they need a bit of one-to-one support, they can already talk about feelings. They already understand models that we're using.
Martin, so why, can you tell me why the Freemasons decided to donate this money to the ILS?
Just looking around this room today, I know it's radio, but on every single wall, there are products of courses that they've run with children. Some of the wonderful ideas that the children have got here for all of us to see, but you know that the amount of emotional energy that they've invested in producing that work will in itself have been a great release. The quality of the product that they've got and the diversity of the range of materials that they've got. And the great thing about I Listen and what we've seen of their materials today, the whole idea of the money that we are donating is to increase the range and offering that they can give to reflect the needs of our population.
What an incredible donation that is from the Isle of Man Freemasons. That was Martin Blackburn from the Freemasons talking to Darren, and before that, education leader, I'll Listen, Rebecca McNair. Now, turning to sport, and after a stinging, heavy defeat in midweek, FC Isle of Man face the challenge of lifting themselves again when they head to Pilkington in the NWCFL Premier Division tomorrow afternoon. Well, with his team currently second from bottom of the table, the FC Isle of Man manager Paul Jones explains how he and his players are handling some of the scrutiny over performances so far this season.
It's not easy. It's a small community, isn't it? So, like, as much as I'm not on social media, I'm very aware of what people are saying about me. And yes, in an ideal world, you'd prefer people were finding a way to use their energy to provide positive energy for us rather than making it even harder for us, but that's not how the world works. So all we can do is just focus on ourselves and focus on what we believe we need to do to improve individually and as a group, and, you know, use that noise to bring us together and make us closer and work harder for each other. And the noise that surrounds all of that, you can either let it break you or let it make you, and we're trying to help it let it make us. I think there's maybe also a little bit of unrealistic expectations in terms of where we are with the group that we've got and how many games we should realistically be expecting to win on a consistent basis at this level of football. There's maybe a little bit of a reset required because it will take a little bit of time.
We saw that brief statement from the club a few weeks ago that this weekend after the game on Saturday will be a review of the season so far. Of course, we can't presume what's going to be said. Just purely from your perspective, what would you consider to be a good outcome of that review?
We do it every year, or we do it every season, last two seasons anyway, every 12, 13 games. We catch up, myself and the board, and we discuss what's happened. This is no different to normal. Now, some people might read into it something, you know, where are my jobs under threat or my roles under threat, and therefore, you know, based on results, I won't be in the job anymore. Like, I'm not approaching it on that basis, but if that's the outcome, then that's the outcome. Like, I don't know. And it's up to the board to answer that question, not me. But as far as I'm concerned, it's a natural part of the process of any well-functioning club that you have regular meetings between the football side and the business side of the football club. There'll be decisions made anyway. There's always decisions made. I mean, just what those decisions are will be dependent upon how those conversations go. You know, I'm going into it as a normal review process, and then what happens, happens.
That's Ravens manager Paul Jones talking to Rob there. Pilkington versus FC Isle of Man kicks off at the PSD Stadium tomorrow at 3 p.m. Just a reminder, there has been a two-vehicle RTC on Victoria Road in Douglas. Police are asking you to avoid that area. Earlier, there was also an RTC near the Mancat Sanctuary in Santon. That is all clear now if you are heading heading home that way. 19 minutes past five, and staying with sport, and there is a real buzz around Vagabonds Ladies Rugby Club as the team begins its new season in women's NC2 North South at home to Sale FC 1861 second team tomorrow. Team coach Jack Kane and player Freya Crowe have been telling us about their ambitions for the campaign ahead.
Yeah, I think everybody's really excited. Obviously, it's a bigger league with some new teams that we've not played before, so I think everybody's looking forward to it and feeling quite optimistic based on how we finished last season, so things are looking good, yeah.
And Freya, from a player's perspective, there just seems to be a really positive atmosphere in the group. What's the key to that?
Friendships, maybe. I don't know. I feel like everybody's just like a big family and everybody's just really happy to play rugby.
And Jack, from your side of things, you mentioned about the experiences last season. What are the biggest lessons you all took from last season, do you think?
I think it's the importance of away games. I think we showed last season that our home form is really good. You know, we're battering teams at home, but then when we come to away games, we're losing to teams that we really should be beating. So I think now it's just trying to piece it all together and get a full squad travelling away as well, because we're more than capable, because we've shown it at home of dominating the league, frankly. So it's trying to do it home and away now.
And Freya, there has been quite a few changes in the squad over the last couple of years. How would you say the newer players over the last couple of years have really settled into things?
Can't say too much, as I am a new player as of last year, but I think everybody's doing really, really well. I think everybody's settling amazingly, and there's lots of new players that are coming up and they're amazing, to be honest.
You're a newer player as well, so you know, how good an environment and a community has it been to come into as a new player?
Oh, amazing. I've loved every minute of it. Everybody's so welcoming, so inviting. It's like a second family, really.
Have you set yourselves any particular objectives?
There's nothing concrete on paper, but I think, if we're being honest, really, we should be looking to be finishing higher than we did last season. So top three, I guess, is the aim. Not necessarily going to say we want to get promoted, but certainly to do better than last season.
Mm-hmm. And Fred, just finally, on your side of things, have you and the players set any particular objectives, or are you keeping it quite open?
Yeah, quite open. Obviously, promotion would be amazing, but yeah, as Jack said, top three we'll be happy with.
That is Freya Crowe from Vagabonds and also the team coach Jack Kane, both talking to Rob there. Now, I mentioned a very special birthday celebration that's been taking place this afternoon. Well, Jim Parks has turned 106 years old. I mean, what an incredible thing. And also, actually, this month, two other residents will be turning 100 as well. And yeah, lots to celebrate down at Southlands. We will be hearing from Mr. Parks a little bit later on Manx Radio. Now, the search is on for the island's next biosphere artist in residence, but that deadline is fast approaching. The Manx Wildlife Trust, which is working with UNESCO Biosphere Isle of Man, the Arts Council and Culture Vannin, is inviting proposals before applications close this Sunday. Now, the year-long residency offers artists a chance to explore Manx nature, culture and language, and do lots of other things through their work as well. Outgoing resident Amy Howes has been telling Howard she hadn't realised just how transformational the experience would be.
So I'm a sound therapist, and I've worked with sound in nature before, so I had that connection with the biosphere on a sound level from doing outdoor sound baths for a couple of years before I took on the residency. So in that way, I already had quite a connection with the biosphere.
And just clarify for those who perhaps might not know, when you say an outdoor sound bath, what does that actually entail?
So an outdoor sound bath is where I set up my instruments, which are instruments from the crystal bowls, the gongs, and percussion instruments, in special places in nature. So for example, I've done sound baths at the Ramsey Woodland Herpin Park, which is the Manx Wildlife Trust Reserve. And then I invite people to come and listen to the sounds of nature, but also blend the sounds of nature with the sound bath instruments to create an immersive meditative experience that helps people connect to our landscape and our biosphere, but also to themselves as well. Just some moments of stillness and deep listening.
What would you say to anyone, artist in any sphere really, who was considering this sort of role?
I've experienced more than I ever imagined. I feel like I've really made the most of the opportunities that have popped up as part of the residency, and created opportunity as well to collaborate, to form new connections, friendships, to learn new skills, from artistic skills to business strategy skills. So it's been a very broad learning experience. So I would say if you're considering it, just go for it. I wouldn't change the whirlwind and the learning and what comes next for anything.
That is Amy Howes, who is talking to Howard Kane. Once again, you can find out more details at manxradio.com. Just a reminder that in the past 20 minutes, police have told us they are at a RTC on Victoria Road in Douglas. The road is currently blocked at the moment, so do please avoid that area. And just looking ahead on Sunday for the Festival of Motoring, there are going to be some road closures. The southbound carriageway on Glen Crutchery Road will be shut from 9 until 11, and the mountain road will be closed in its entirety from noon until 5 p.m. Now, let's talk about other sports news with Rob Fastermy.
Fastermy, first off, equestrian and the Isle of Man's Yasmin Ingham sits inside the top 10 of the individual standings on day two of the 2025 FEI Eventing European Championships in Oxfordshire. The Greba rider was part of the opening dressage session yesterday, in which she was joint third with a score of 29 and has been on a rest day today. Well, following today's other competitors taking part in the dressage, Ingham has now dropped to ninth in the table, with Germany's Michael Jung currently top with a score of 18.3. For Ingham and Great Britain as a whole, though, it's looking positive, with Ingham's teammates Laura Collett and Tom McEwen sitting second and third respectively. Next up for the Manx competitor and Great Britain will be the cross-country test tomorrow at Blenheim Palace. Elsewhere, the current top two in the Canada Life Men's Premier League meet this weekend as part of the latest upcoming Isle of Man football fixtures. Among Saturday's ties, Russian United host Laxey, with both sides the only two top flight teams to boast perfect records of 4 wins from 4 so far. Meanwhile, another team with 100% tally to protect is Castletown in Ardern and Drug Unlimited Division 2, with the Southerners due to host Maroun. All of Saturday's matches are due to get underway at 2:30 p.m. Elsewhere, the Canada Life Women's League returns for game week 2 on Sunday, with several teams still yet to get their league campaigns underway. Separately, all Peel AFC's men's and women's matches this weekend have been postponed following the death of Kian Broadhead last week. You can see a full schedule of this weekend's Isle of Man football fixtures at manxradio.com. In rugby, we've already heard tonight how Vagabonds Ladies will be kicking off their season this weekend, but there's more rugby action for the Isle of Man elsewhere on Saturday. Douglas are back on home soil at Portishead to face Altrincham Kersal at 2 p.m. tomorrow. Before that, the first fixture of this year's Hartford Homes Manx Shield takes place, with Douglas seconds facing Southern Nomads at the same venue at 1 p.m. And finally, week two beckons for the 2025 Isle of Man mixed hockey season, with games throughout Saturday. Among the ties in the mixed Premier League, defending champions Backers A as well as Vikings A will be aiming to make it 2 wins from 2. You can see the full schedule for this weekend's hockey ties on our website.
Thank you very much indeed, Rob. Now he's going to scoot over to the other studio because the Friday Sport Preview is coming up after this programme. And finally, we're just again saying happy birthday to Jim Parks, who's at Southlands, 106 today. And they've got two other residents who are going to be celebrating their 100th birthday in the coming weeks as well. So lots of celebrations that have been happening down there this afternoon. The Lieutenant Governor, Sir John Lorimer, I know has been there and hopefully enjoying a spot of cake. We'll have more about Mr. Parks on Manx Radio over the next couple of days. As I say, Rob is up next with the Friday Sport Preview. Then it will be Greatest Hits with Chris Kinley from 6, The Sweet and Swing with Howard from 9, and Rhiann will be with you with After Hours from 10. Just remember that incident on the Victoria Road in Douglas is still ongoing. Police asking you to avoid that area. Do keep an eye on Manx Radio's social media pages for the latest updates. Whatever you're doing this weekend, have a good one, and I'll talk to you again on Monday.